Okay, let's go on here and see what really happens on that day of judgment. Let's turn back to go back to Matthew 25. And in these parables, God describes exactly what's going to happen on that day. There really is not going to be a lot of talking and speaking, and it's going to be pretty one-sided, because Satan, frankly, doesn't have too much to say. He can't. He's guilty. So this is the scene. Now, I'd like to start in verse 31 of Matthew 25, but in the parable previous to that, in verse 30, it says, and you have to go ahead, we don't have the time to read this, about the talents and the wicked one and all that. And he's talking about, in verse 30, and cast you, the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And this is showing the earlier plan when he takes him and puts him into the bottomless pit. He doesn't destroy him here, does he? But now we're in another parable. Now we're at the end. Verse 31 says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory. That's a key sentence. Jesus Christ does not come in his glory until he comes with his Father in that great last day, when all nations have been put down. That is when he comes in his glory. Right in for the tapes about Christ second coming. You'll find he's coming all the time. He's always bouncing around here. But this is the true coming of Jesus Christ. This is when he comes in glory. Now, if you didn't know that, you'd read right over those words and you'd apply this to all kinds of different times. But when you really know when that glory is going to be, then you know that this is that great last day. This is that white throne judgment when he comes down. So when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. That is that day. And before him shall be gathered all nations, all tribes, kindreds, tongues, what we've read about, all the peoples of the world, and Satan and all of his demons and devils. They're all gathered there. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Now, you do studies in here. The sheep are always the children of God. They are always the children of God. They're always the people. The goats are always Satan. It's always referred to as Satan. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left hand. Now, so you're looking at me different here. My right, your left, all that kind of stuff. I'll go from my view. It's hard for me to chew gum and walk down the street. Give me a break. It's going to be right. It's going to be left. So when he does all of this, he separates them. Sheep here on the right, goats on the left. Not all talk. Then shall the king say, what a marvelous statement this is. This is the culmination of everything that we have learned. The king says unto them on his right hand, these are all the sheep, this is the judgment. Come, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared prepared for you from the foundation of the world. There was never going to be any other end to this for human beings. That kingdom was prepared for the sheep from the foundation of the world. And God never missed a beat. The Father is 100% love, and He loved all of His children. And as that one scripture was read this morning, He says, yes, I've forsaken you, but just for a moment, just a moment in time. Now I'm going to gather you with great mercies. What a Father. No big discussion here. Prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And of course, you know, people, well, I mean, we didn't do anything. When did we do anything? Well, how do we deserve this? Well, they'll find out that they don't deserve it. It's a gift. But he says, For I was a-hungered, and you gave me meat. And I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. And I was a stranger, and you took me in, naked, and clothed me, and sick. And you visited me in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we you hunger? When were you hungry? When did we see this? And when did we feed you and thirsty and give you drink? When saw we you a stranger and took you in and gave you clothes? Or that you were sick or in prison? And the king answered, says, and the king shall answer, because it's coming. He shall answer and said unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And you think, well, when did I go out of my way? I'll tell you something. When you have children, did you take care of that child? That was God's son. You help people. See, the human beings, in spite of Satan, continued to do the little bit that they could do. Satan, on the other hand, there's such a huge difference. He did nothing. He fought it the whole time. They were ministering spirits. They were supposed to be taking care of the people. And all they did is rip the flesh off their bones, drive them into the ground. You all have these horror stories that you've gone through in life. God's not doing that to you. God may be allowing it, so maybe we can see better. But it's not because you're evil or bad or anything else. He is, you're the clay. You have no hands. He's getting you ready. The potter's pushing you there and pushing you over there and making you this way. He's the one who does it, not us. So that's the big judgment on the sheep. It's like that game show. Come on down. You're in. You're in the family of God. Where else should they be? Of course, with God. But then he has something to say here in verse 41. Now, these other ones on the left, all the goats, a little different story here. He doesn't hear too much babbling from them. He says, then shall, in the future, say, he shall say unto them, on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You could close the book there. I think that's pretty clear. It's reserved. One of our elders tells people, what are you going to do? Show up at hell one day? Do you want to jump in? God's going to say, where's your reservation? You don't have any. Get out of here. Go over there to heaven. You know, you put in plain words, but that's the truth. I'm sorry, you don't belong here. You can't come here. Oh, I'm going to do it. You know, that's why the people, the Indians in this country, the nationalities from the Indians, that's why they're all seated at every restaurant they go in because they have reservations. Yeah, that joke makes me sick too, but it's funny. I needed some more water. I hope my voice will hang in there. But human beings don't have reservations for this party, not even the Indians. Can't get them. You can't buy them. God already gave them out. Do you have one? You don't. Can't go there. Sorry. You don't want to go there. Satan has one. Doesn't want his ticket. Tries to get rid of it. He's got the ticket. He's got to go there. He can't go anywhere else. That's where he's assigned. He says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me no meal. I was thirsty. You didn't give me anything to drink. I was a stranger. You didn't take me in. Naked. Didn't clothe me. Sick. In prison. You didn't visit me." Then shall they also answer him, saying, "Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord." Of course, now they've been with God from the beginning, you know, ever since he created them. You know, probably billions of years. You know, this is a pretty thin alibi here. This is a pretty thin excuse. They were there up in heaven. They heard all the teaching. It says, "Lord, oh Lord, when did we see you hungry and athirst?" You know, trying to beg off of this thing. The people didn't know any better. These things knew better. Willingly ignorant. Brute beasts to be destroyed. "And when did we see you naked and sick?" Blah, 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 blah. Whining. Oh, the whining begins. That's why you've got to kill them right away. The whining would kill all of us. He's whine, oh no, yeah, oh, the 3 billion years kind of caught up with us now. "Then shall he answer them and say, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me." Don't try to beg off. You were made to take care of them, and you didn't do it. You lived off the fat. You lived off of them. You killed them. You destroyed them. We're not going to be too kind. It says we're going to judge angels. There's no need to judge the good angels. There's nothing to judge. They've always done it God's way. It's only one group of angels that we have to judge. The ones that did it the opposite way. I don't know about you, but I know what'll come out of my mouth at that day. "You're guilty. You're going to hell. Jump, or we'll push you." That's it. Isn't it wonderful? We've told this to people in other associations, and they come back, well, why would you want Satan to die? Hello. What planet are you on? Well, they don't understand who Satan is. They don't even see him yet. So why would you want to be nasty to somebody you don't even know that's ruining your life? But even from worldwide, you would think they would say, "Really? Is he going to die? That would be a good thing, wouldn't it?" No. Blind. So were we. So in verse 46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment." This is the second death. When you hit the second death, there is no return. It is everlasting. You are dead forever, never to return. That's what that means. "But the righteous into life eternal." All of the children of God, each in their own order. First the first fruits, then the great harvest. What an orderly plan. I know, why don't we get a committee together here and let's rework this thing a little bit. I don't think it's clear enough. I just don't think it's clear enough. Let's take a vote on this. Yeah, well, that's what's happening out there. Where's God's church? They all will find out, won't they? And hopefully they'll all be part of it. And you know, what a marvelous thing. God just says, this is the way it's going to be. Now, back to Revelation 20. Revelation 20, in verse 14. Now, this has just taken place. This was the scene. That was the vision. That's what happened. And in verse 14 of Revelation 20, and death and hell, both names of Satan, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. You know, he says, you're going to be dead forever. That's it. It's a second death. You can't come back from that. It's forever. Forever dead. No chance of parole. Ever dead. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, these are all the human beings, if you weren't written in that book, was cast into the lake of fire. Very plain. Satan's not written there. He's in there. The devils aren't written. They're in there. Human beings, oh, they're written in that book of life. They're in the kingdom of God forever. What a marvelous thing. Just marvelous. Turn back to John 7. One quick little scripture. Why do we know all this is going to happen then? You know, Jesus Christ is the one that we follow. He followed his Father. Why did he do what he did when he was on this earth? Everything he did meant something and pictured something. Because he was under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God's power. John 7, verse 37. This is during the Feast of Tabernacles. And it says about Christ. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and he cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. What, did he have a pizza the night before and he was bothered and he had a little gas, so he stood up there and said this? You know, did it come from man? No, it didn't come from man. It's direct inspiration by God. And he pictured right there what was going to happen on the great last day. But we didn't know anything about the great last day. So we messed all of this up. Now we know. Now we read it. It's like when he was there dying on that stake. Turns over and there, you know, this thief. And he says, oh, forgive me, forgive me. You know, this guy really is. He's really son of man. He's son of God. And Christ turned to him and said, today. And oh, we said, we have got to get this comma here. And, oh, somebody put a comma in the wrong place and moved this around. Well, oh, no, this doesn't fit into our theory. Fit into God's plan. When he looked at that man and he says, today, you will be in paradise with me. And he meant it. No excuses for Christ's words. He meant it and he saw it. And that's the way it was going to be. And when that man opens up his eyes, he's just been sleeping. It was just, you know, you went to sleep last night. Did you remember anything? Of course, if you did have that pizza, you probably had nightmares. But if you didn't have dreams, you don't remember any of that. There's 6-7 hours, I wish, that you didn't remember. And you wake up and go, oh, here we are. That is what death is. That fast. And that man that was hanging there is going to wake up. You know who he's going to see? The guy that was hanging next to him. There he is. And he's going to be in paradise. Marvelous. Yeah, little Adolf Hitler. Little Adolf. Stand there. Just be crying. He's going to have the same mind that you have. Wonderful. You know, there's all kinds of other beasts running around on the earth and all the other people that Satan used in just horrible ways. They're going to stand there. And you know what? No one's going to judge them. No one will ever judge Adolf. Because for the first time, we have a clear view. We all sin. You sin. You're there. The other guy sinned. He's there. Adolf, he sinned. He's there. That's how big and powerful the blood of Jesus Christ is. And this is marvelous. He stands up on the last day. He tells everyone right there, this is the way it's going to be. He says, he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's what's going to happen. That's that Holy Spirit. Everyone's going to have it. Marvelous thing. Okay, let's go back to Revelation 21. Let's read about this new heavens and earth. Oh, I can see I'm not going to get through this. Well, I'll just take another sermon after the feast and do that. It'll be a tag-on sermon like last year. I can never, even I had another man take a whole sermon and I didn't have to preach on that. I still can't get to the end. You know? God wrote the book. It's not my fault. I'm just trying to tell you about it. So we'll get as far as we can. So chapter 21. This is what everyone's going to come into. This is this new heavens and new earth. What's the old earth? New governments. New spirits. Different things. As I'm hoping we'll get to. I'll just try to go fast here. And it'll show you that it is the old earth. But it's a new government that's been cleansed by that fire. No more evil. So John looks up in verse 1 of chapter 21 of Revelation. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, white and clean and pure and beautiful. Whenever you had a wedding, we just had this wedding. Boy, when the bride walks in those beautiful white dresses like that, it's just beautiful. It's just always just beautiful. Makes everybody cry, you know. And it's nice and it's pretty, and that's what we're going to see. Boom. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them." And they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. What a marvelous thing. And God, remember these other scriptures we read? One is the timing. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. Brethren, we live with pain every day. Everyone's in pain. I don't care how nice your life is. You got pain. It's Satan. No more Satan, no more pain. Replaced by the Spirit of God. For the former things are passed away. They're gone. Never to haunt us again. And He that sat upon the throne, "Behold, I make all things new." And He said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." He wanted this to be written down forever. And He said unto me, It is done. It is done. Satan's gone. The family is now going to begin. And the Father is going to be the Father and the God of all the people. And the people are going to be His children. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst a fountain of water, of life freely. What did Christ say when he stood up? This is what I'm going to do on that great last day. He that overcomes. Oh, wait a minute. We have to make a decision. Oh, no. This was going so well. But now he says that we have to overcome. And every one of you know that you haven't overcome. Not near enough even to get just to get an invitation, let alone get in to the family of God. How do you overcome? You overcome by the blood of Jesus Christ. It says to those churches, he who overcomes. Yeah, you overcome. You already overcame him. The day you were sealed, you overcame death. You'd still die, but it would never keep you there. You got the victory. You have it. Never goes away. It says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And really he's talking about the first fruits there. We inherit all things. We are his children. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ to the entire universe. He already gave that to you. So he allows a little bit of misery in some of our lives for a very short time to accomplish a purpose. Okay, I have the ticket. I'm there. It's already been punched. And if that's to the glory of God and for his plan, then bring it on. What, would we ever want to stop that? It is that we inherit all things, and I will be his God. Remember, the other people are his people. And we, he says, and he shall be my son. We are the very sons of God forever. And it is sons and daughters. But when we're there, we're not going to be anything as far as physical. Not going to be male or female. So if he wants to call us all sons, I guess there's no argument. No one could prove different at that point, could they? See how smart he is? See how smart he is? But, oh, but he still has something to say here. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremonger, who are all these people? What are you talking about? And the sorcerers, who are the sorcerers? He's talking about Satan, the devils, all the junk that they did, everything that they made people do. The idolaters and all the liars. Well, we know who the father of all those liars are. Shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So he says, we're all going to be in his family, and all of them are going to be burned up. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, talked with me, saying, come hither. I will show you the bride here and the Lamb's wife. Of course, that's 144,000. Taking him on a little tour. Boy, I wish he would have videotaped this, huh? Boy, this has been great. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like the jasper stone. And he goes on, he starts to explain this, which I don't have the time to go through. You've read this before. All the foundations and these 12 gates and all these, the gold and the jasper and everything. Beautiful, diamonds, 12 gates, everything. most beautiful thing that you've ever seen in your life. Well, as any good Jew would, like John, and any of us would, where's the temple? Because we know that's where God's going to be. Oh, even in the vision, I want to say, where's God? Where's Christ? What's the deal? Where's my friend? I want to see my friend. So in verse 22, and he says, he looked around, he says, I saw no temple therein. There was no temple, no big building. That's all they were acquainted with before. He's looking for this. Nothing. He says, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And you know who make up the pillars of the temple? All of us. All of the first fruits. So wherever the Father is, wherever the Lamb is, that's where we are, because he's finally put his, well, he's had it from heaven. It came down during the first resurrection. We were that temple. And that's all come down. And that's what makes up that temple. What a marvelous thing. Everyone's going to see that. And he goes on to talk about the gates will never be closed, and all the nations will honor this beautiful city in that temple. In verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abominations or lies. None of that will ever go there. You know why? Because he just threw it all into hell. There isn't that there anymore. But they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's what makes up that temple. And going on here, chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as a crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. You know, he's never seen these things. We haven't seen them. How do you describe this? In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life. We come all the way back to the Garden of Eden, don't we? God doesn't leave anything undone. Comes back to the very tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month. See, when you listen to those circumcision and cycle tapes, you realize what he is talking about. It never dies. It always produces fruit. Always producing fruit. Everything that God does is always alive. It pictures life. It pictures fruit. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. There has been a curse on this earth. It has been Satan. And everything that he had. And everything that he was involved in. And there's not going to be any more curse then. It says, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And the servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them the light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Forever. I really don't have the time to go into some of these other things. I'm going to have to do another sermon on it. I'd go longer today, but I don't think my voice will hold. But I do. Let's clear up this reigning deal. We talked about that in another sermon. Here he says they're going to reign forever and ever. Let's do it in the right situation this time. And let's go over here to Revelation 5. This is talking about the great last day. Is the statement proper and right that he makes in Revelation 5? Yes. We didn't know the timing of this. We can read this starting in verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, and who sings that new song? First fruits. Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Oh yeah, that's where his throne is. That's where heaven is at that point, on the earth. And we are going to rule and reign with Christ on this earth forever and ever. Forever. So when you come back to Revelation 20, and where he says this in Revelation 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. See, it starts to make sense when you know the plane of the plan, because he's up in heaven and that's where we are. So whenever your friends from the other associations come, say, oh, let me tell you a great truth. All the first fruits are going to heaven. And see what happens. You'll at least get a laugh for the day at that. And then you'll know where you used to be. And you can thank God even more. Well, brethren, I can't go on. I don't even want to start this. Could have gone to bed an hour and a half earlier last night. I will have to finish this on a later sermon and go through this, because I was really trying to cram this into about a half an hour I thought that I'd have left. But you're going to see from many scriptures, you know, okay, now the new heavens and new earth are there. The great last day is there. Well, but now what? Does he give us any glimpse of how he's going to do this? Well, he does. He gives us a very good glimpse. He's going to use the priests in the temple system, King David, to teach us, well, not us, but all of them. He's going to be using them to teach you those sacrifices. That's what's going to happen. And that's going to teach all the children. It's going to teach the adults, because everyone's going to know what all those things and the sacrifices are doing. The air conditioner. And we all know the scriptures over in Zechariah 14 where it says we're going to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, and it's obviously in the great last day. His law was never done away with. His law is a law of love. And it's been there from the beginning, and it'll be there. There is no end. It'll just always be there. And it'll make people happy forever. Many things you have to remember. This. Remember when they have to get together for 7 years and burn all of the weapons? Well, that's not at the beginning of the millennium. No, that's now. And they have to burn all those. And they'll have waste places that they have to rebuild, and the cities they have to rebuild. There'll be a remnant there. But everything will be cleansed. They'll be burying bodies. Well, more like bones. But you see a skeleton, you say, well, we've got to bury this body. This is somebody's body. And they'll be burying those for 7 months. That's at the beginning of this new heaven and new earth. God works in a very physical way. God created the physical. He created you physical. Most all of his children are going to be physical. And so he works it out in a physical way, of course, with the power of his spirit. He will assign other people to, if you know, they're digging up something, they're farming, and they come across a bone, they have to put that in place and call people, because there's people that have to come and dispose of that in the right way, because that shows death. But God wants those reminders, and we'll go through that in the other sermon. there's a pit where he throws Satan, and that pit stays there for eternity, and people can go by there. There's a lot of little different things that he has to never forget. Every time a sacrifice, a sin sacrifice, is given, an offering, it pictures Satan dying. Continually shows Satan dying over and over. Doesn't ever want anyone to forget that evil, and that he is good. You know, the Father has always loved you from the foundation of this world. He's loved every one of us. He's written our names personally in that Lamb's Book of Life. He has always had a true plan of salvation, and it was always love all the way through it. We just couldn't see it. We're too wrapped up in the garbage. The glory, all the glory and praise and the honor goes to our Father for what he is doing for all the children. You know, I can't tell you anything better than this. There isn't anything better than this. This is as best. This is as best as it gets. It can't get any better than this. When you really know and understand that true plan of salvation, then you start to see the Father. You also see Satan. And Satan gets out, the Father comes in. And brethren, this is some things that the angels and the prophets just longed and desired to know. And they never knew this. And we have the honor and the blessing to be able to know this. All of our brethren out there scattered around, they're still out there doing that other stuff. But in time, when God so chooses, they'll be here with us. They can't go anywhere else. And when they get here, they too will start to have some peace in their life. Some of that pain, although it'll always stay until the change comes, but at least the peace will be there. And we'll know what's going on. So, like I said, I can't say anything more about it than I have. It's going to be a wonderful, a great, and a tremendous time. It's a time to look forward to that great last day when the true plan of salvation really comes all full circle and all of God's children are there at last. So, take care, and we certainly will see you before next year, but drive safe, fly safe. Pray that everyone makes it home in one piece. And thank you all for everything you've all done here at the feast to make it a very, very good time. So I think with that, we will close.